inspirational songs every Sunday morning on Radio Africana.
Welcome to the Road of Correction Show with your host, Ricardo Bezalel.
Hallelujah. Peter chapter 3, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts,
and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation.
And saying,
where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation.
For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished.
But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men.
But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and
a thousand years as one day.
But,
yes,
but beloved,
be not ignorant of this one thing,
that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years,
a thousand years as one day.
Oh, The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Oh, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise,
hey,
as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward.
In our discussion today, we are continuing with the perilous times shall come. We had part one of the understanding the perilous times. So this is just summing it up and closing the two-part series of perilous times shall come. And an understanding which you as a believer, you need to have in your life so that you can guard against the possibility of you getting tangled up with the situations which are prevailing in the world as we speak. It says in the last days, and we spend a lot of time in part one discussing what the last days are. We said the whole world can be divided into three parts, into three generations of people, into three dispensations of people. We say the first group are those which are called the Adamic generation, which are them which started from the first man Adam in Genesis chapter 2 or verse 7, when he was given a human body from the dust of the earth, and God downloaded the spirit of Adam which he had created within himself in Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27. And this spiritual Adam was then downloaded into the human body which he was then given to function in, because in order for a human being to function on the earth, you need a body, you need flesh, bones and blood. If you lose your flesh, bones and blood, you also lose your right to function on this earth, because this earth is only for those creatures which have got human bodies, which have got flesh, bones, and blood, which explains why the devil and his demons are always seeking people to possess and occupy, because the demons themselves, they cannot function on this earth unless they indwell a particular person or a particular flesh, bones, and blood, which is vacant at that particular time. So we read from the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, and this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, he says in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. You see, now you have to remember the things which you are taught. You have to remember the things which come your way, which are the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because if you forget who Jesus is, then you will be in trouble, because you will believe whatever Jesus which the people tell you, because there are fake Jesuses out there, and we spoke about them last time to say that in this generation, which is the third generation, we said the first one is the Adamic generation, which ran from Adam all the way to the giving of the law of Moses on Mount Sinai, and to the effective taking over of the law of Moses from Deuteronomy chapter 34, when Moses dies and then Joshua takes over and the law starts to effectually come into official reckoning, official implementation of the law. And so from the implementation, from the giving of the law in Mount Sinai, and going backwards to Adam, that is the Adamic generation. They didn't have any covenant which was legally binding on them, so they belong to the Adamic generation, which did not have any particular instructions which were enforceable by law. And then so that's day number one, that's generation one. Then day number two, the second generation is those the Old Testament generation, the whole generation from Moses, from the giving of the law all the way to the ending of the law, because the law ended on the cross of Calvary. We know this from Ephesians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2. We know that even when the Lord, when he was on the cross, he cried out and said, "It is finished." He had finished now the dispensation of the law, the covenantal the Old Testament generation, which was the second day, which was the people who lived under the auspices of the laws of Moses, all the 613 of them. And then from there, from the resurrection of Christ, when he rose again from the dead, because Jesus was declared to be the Son of God, not by being born in the manger, but by being resurrected from the dead, as he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, that he was the Son of David according to the flesh, but he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, even by the power, or by the Spirit of holiness, the Holy Spirit. So you see now, so from the fourth day after he was killed, and then he rose again the third day, and then the fourth day, when which was the first full day of the Messiah having been confirmed to be the Messiah, of the Christ being having confirmed to be the Son of God. Because there are people who say, God has no son. You know, it's not possible for a God to have a son. Did God have sex with a woman in order for a son to be born? And then there are those groups of people who say that Mary is the Queen of Heaven, as if to imply that since she is the Queen of Heaven, then she was the wife of the King of Heaven, which was God, which is the blasphemous on its own. It cannot be true that way. Mary is not the Queen of Heaven. Mary was simply the mother of the body of Jesus, but not the mother of the Savior. The Savior is the one who is born from the dead, the one who is born again from the dead. Jesus said, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus in John chapter 3 said, How can these things be? How can I be born again when I am old? And Jesus said to him, Are you a master of Israel and you don't understand these things? I say unto you, flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit gives birth to spirit. And he continues to explain until he gets to John chapter 3 verse 16 where he says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And who is the begotten son? Who is the begotten son? The begotten son is not the one born in the manger. No. The begotten son is the one who is resurrected from the dead. That's the one who is given unto the world. For God so loved the world. What kind of world is that? He loved the world of the New Testament church and is given that world of the New Testament church. Anybody who desires not to perish, he should belong to the New Testament. And the New Testament is not anything which is mixed with any other religious laws. The laws of Moses, the laws of the convocations of Israel, and whatever else is out there, the worshipping the dead, the worshipping of ancestors, worshipping of animals, worshipping of celestial bodies like the moon and the stars and things like that. All those kind of things, they don't belong to the New Testament. The world which God so loved was the world of the New Testament. He saw that world of the New Testament before it came to be. And by so loving it that much, he gave his only, that word begotten son in John 3 verse 16. You can render it and say, For God so loved the world that he gave his only resurrected son. Yeah, the one who rose again from the dead. That whosoever believes in this resurrected son who rose again from the dead should not perish, which means should not die the second death, which is being cast into the lake of fire when judgment day happens. Those who died dead in Adam and never lived a life of the resurrection of Christ within themselves, those people are the ones who are destined not to be in the New Testament, but are going to be perishing, because perishing is being cast into the lake of fire, which is greater than hell itself. So this is the third, the third generation of people started from the fourth day when Jesus, after Jesus rose again from the dead. And this is up to where we are now. That's the third day. So we are in the last days. The last days having started after Jesus has risen from the dead. So it says that, that which I set up your pure minds by way of remembrance. You got to remember, because if you forget, if you are forgetful and you don't learn and you don't learn from the things you should be learning from and you don't follow up the things you should follow up, you end up being mixed up and not knowing anything. And as a result, salvation will escape your grasp because you'll be swayed by all sorts of things. It says, stay up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, and we've already described which ones are the last days, scoffers and walking after their own lusts and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? Where is the promise of the coming of Jesus? They say the second coming, which is not even the second coming, because that's the story of another day. It will be the third coming, but anyway, we'll talk about it another time. But where is where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Yeah, you see now. Hey, it's been 2,000 years, more than 2,000 years since Jesus went to heaven and says he'll come back. When is he coming back? When is he coming back? He maybe is never going to come back. Right. So, these are some of the things which are meaning that what is, like we said last time, what is it that is going to be in peril? What is going to be in peril is your faith. Your faith is the one which is going to face perilous times. Why? Because of these scoffers. What do they say? They say that walking after their own lusts, you see. So they may even have a Bible and stand up in front of the congregation dressed in a white suit with a pointed shoe, right? And say to you, in the name of Jesus, this, in the name of Jesus, that, in the name of Jesus, this. But meanwhile, they are not actually preaching the gospel. They are walking after their own lusts. You see, and this is a perilous time because during the time of Jesus himself or during the time of the early apostles, such kind of things were not prevalent as they are now. So we are in the last of the very last days. So the most dangerous thing is that many people are going to be deceived by so-called men of God who stand in front of the congregations and speak the name of Jesus and even do miracles. But the problem is that the source of their power is not the resurrected Savior Jesus Christ, number one. Number two, the other problem is that the intention of whatever the activity they are doing is not meant to give you salvation. It's meant to get you to follow them, to be a personal follower of these false teachers, of these scoffers, of these false pastors, false evangelists, false apostles, false teachers and false prophets, whatever they may be. I would say false bishops, false reverends, false priests. Their idea is for you to follow them so that they can have you like a puppet on a string. And when they go to hell, you go to hell with them. That is their idea. So by walking after their own lust, they are wanting actually to capture you so that when they go to hell, they go with you. They don't go alone. And that is the whole purpose for which they start congregations and they start ministries and all sorts of things happening out there, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of time of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens which were of old, and the earth standing in the water and out of the water, whereby the world that the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment, perdition and for ungodly men. So you see what's going on here. So this which we are discussing here about what will be happening in the perilous times, we are linking the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. We're reading from verse 1 now. I'm going to be reading from, we read verse 1 to 7. Now I'm going to read from verse 8. But the foundational scriptures which talk about the perilous times, in the last days, perilous times shall come, you find that in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning from verse 1. So we are linking that to 2 Peter chapter 3. We also read from verse 1. And now on verse 7 it says, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So the issue here is the earth as we know it is gonna one day vanish. What the scriptures are saying here is actually corroborated by science. Science, they say that this earth is going to perish in heat, in fire, just as the Bible is saying here. But in science, they say that our star, the sun, the solar sun, which gives us morning, afternoon, evening, it's hot today, it's summer, it's winter, whatever. This sun, which gives us light and heat, they say that this sun is actually growing in size very, very slowly. But there's gonna come a time, I don't know how long, millions of years even, where it's gonna grow big enough to burn this earth into ashes. That's what science says. You can research that on the internet if you are in doubt. But though the outcome is the same, that this earth is going to be bent by fire, as the Bible says, the method of how it's going to happen is where science differs from the scriptures. The scripture says the Lord is going to institute it. Whether the Lord is going to just inflate the sun and it bends this earth, I don't know how that is going to happen. But that's what the science says. The sun is going to continue to grow bigger and bigger until it consumes this earth and leaves it as ashes. How that is going to happen, I don't know. But the scripture says, according to the scripture, says the day of the Lord. Yeah, the Lord is not slow concerning his slackness, right? I mean, the Lord is not slow concerning his promise. Yeah, he is going to come back. And when he does come back, the day of judgment is the one which is going to institute the fire burning the heavens, but the heavens and the earth, which now are by the same word which are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So you see that this earth, this universe, which includes the sun itself. So that's why the Bible differs from what science is saying, because even the sun and all the planets apart from the earth are also going to be folded up and bend away. So when science says, our solar sun is the one which is going to bend down the earth, that's what they think. Maybe in years to come, they're going to find another evidence and say, you know what? We taught everybody, went to school in these years, science was wrong. Now the truth is this one. We've now found what is going to be actually happening. So the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. So these perilous times, they come in the sense that people started discounting all these things. No, you know, there is nothing like faith. You know, this Jesus was just an ordinary person. He was just a prophet after all. There was nothing much to him. He wasn't even crucified. He escaped to go to heaven, you know, and he got somebody else to be crucified in his place. Oh, this Jesus, you know what? He's not really real. Everything he knew, he went to India and he was taught in all the religious teachings of India, in the Indian subcontinent there. And that's where he took it from. And then he came back to Jerusalem and started teaching. You know, he is fake. There is nothing really like this Jesus, you know. This Jesus, he's a Jesus who never grows up. He always needs his mother to intercede and talk to him and tell him what to do, you know. Forget about this crucified, resurrected one. No, we want a Jesus who remains a baby, you know. And this promise about the earth is going to end. You know, your life is meaningless. You only live once, you know. You don't have to be doing anything at all. You know, you live once. You only live once. Go out there. Enjoy yourself. Do what you want. Sleep around. Drink around. Take drugs. Do this. Do that. Cheat and commit fornication and adultery. Do this and whatever else. Those are the perilous times. They have come and they are here. And there's going to come a time where you, if you even mention the name of Jesus, someone is going to report you to somebody that is, I'm being offended by him mentioning the name of Jesus. So these are the perilous times. But the Lord is not slow concerning, he's not slow concerning his promise. The Lord is going to, he's going to keep it up. His day is going to come. He says, for the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You know something? He comes as a thief in the night to those people who don't have the light, because the Lord is the light. He says, I am the light. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and he is the light. Yeah, I am the light of the world, he said. So, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So, those who believe in Jesus, the resurrected God, do have in their human spirit the light of life. So, to those people, when the Lord comes back, those people who have the resurrected Savior, the spirit of the resurrected Savior, living in their human spirit whilst they are still here on the earth, those people are the ones which Jesus described in John chapter 8 and verse 12, when he said on verse 12 there, he said, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You see now, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John chapter 8, verse 12. So, when we come then to 2 Peter chapter 3, on verse 10 there, it says, But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We are not in the night. Those who believe in the resurrected Savior, who've got the resurrection life in them, they are not in the light because they are not in the night because they have got the light of life in them. So when the Lord comes, those people are not going to be surprised by his coming because they are anticipating and expecting him anyway. In these last days, they're expecting that he can come at any time. So those people like myself, and anybody out there, maybe you, my listener, you are one of them who believes in this resurrected God, in this resurrected Savior. If you are one of those who has heard the true gospel, my friend, which is not adulterated by the laws of Moses and the prosperity gospel, if you are one of those, then you are walking in the light and you've got the light of life in you. Therefore, when the Lord comes back, you will not be surprised like a thief in the night. Who surprises those who are asleep, because people sleep at night, and when the thief comes at night, they are not expecting him and they are afraid that somebody is intruding into my house. I don't know who it is, I don't know what they want. But you, my believer, my listener, not my believer, you are a believer of Jesus, not of me. You don't have to believe in me, you got to believe in the one who rose again from the dead. So you, the day of the Lord shall not come to you as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away and with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and also the works therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holiness, in all holy conversation and godliness? That word conversation there means, holy conversation means manner of life. So in all holy manner of life and godliness, looking and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And that new heaven and the new earth, my friend, is indeed the New Testament. It is the New Testament where we live right now. So we continue looking for it. We're not looking for it like it's missing. We look for it in the sense that we want to know more and more of it, more revelation, more light, more power, more sanctification, more blessing, more and more of the same, more salvation, more redemption, you know, so that we can move from milk to solid food to meat and bones. That's the graduation we need to continue doing and growing and maturing and bearing fruit, and fruit that can remain. So when he says that beloved, looking for new heavens and new earth wherein righteousness dwells, it is the New Testament church, my friend. The New Testament church, where righteousness dwells, is Jesus and his Holy Spirit are the source of the righteousness which dwells in the believers who believe in the true gospel. So, my friend, perilous times have come and they are here. How are you standing up in order to keep these things alive within your spirit? How are you doing it, my friend? That's the challenge we face, you and I. But you got to prevail, because the one who raised Jesus from the dead lives in me and lives in you.
Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not.
And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not.
For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the aged person, a preacher of righteousness,
bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly.
Deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds.
The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk
in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, selfish. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignity.
Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord.
But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand, shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. As they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots they are in blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you.
Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin,
beguiling unstable souls,
and heart they have exercised with covetous practices.
Cursed children,
which have forsaken the right way.
So in our continued discussion, we are looking at these perilous times, as it says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 there. But we, in the first half of this discussion, we read from the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 from verse 1 all the way. And the conclusion of 2 Peter chapter 3, which we find the conclusion from verse 17. It says, ye therefore, let's read 9, verse 16. As also all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. You see, when you do things with these scriptures and it then eventually leads into your own destruction, then for you perilous times have indeed come. So for these people whom the Apostle Peter was writing about here, that they read the epistles which were written by Apostle Paul and they twist them out of shape, and he says the end result of those people is that it's going to end up in their own destruction. So you see now, it's not just about, I go to church, I've got a Bible, I've got a preacher whom I follow and I listen to, and all these kind of gimmicks. No, it's got to be to do with correctly handling the scriptures and believing correctly. Because you can have the scriptures and twist them, right? Like people who say, for example, in these days of grace, you need to follow the calendar Sabbath and actually follow the actual Sabbath on the Saturday. And you ask them, but during the Sabbath, you're supposed to bring a portion of fine flour, a young goat of 2 years old, and you got to go to the priest in Jerusalem to sacrifice and all that. How are you going to do that? Who is going to... Where do you even get the flour and the lamb and all these offerings which you're supposed to bring? They say, no, it's okay. We just go to the school hall down the road and we do it there. But who is your high priest? Because in order to follow the Sabbath, you need a high priest. They'll say, no. Our local pastor is the high priest. You need now. They've corrupted it to their own destruction. So you see, you get distracted from the same scriptures, you see. And people call themselves reverend, whereas the reverend is the name of God. He is the only one to be revered, because reverend means to be revered. He is the only one who rose again from the dead. So how can you call yourself reverend? Why are you to be revered? What have you done? You see, so people twist these things to their own destruction, and unto them such people, perilous times have come. And they call themselves priests and who lead churches and all that. And bishops who lead churches and all that. Where in the New Testament did such a thing happen? Yeah, the bishop is not even part of the fourfold ministry of Ephesians chapter 11. I know you say fivefold. It is fourfold, because the prophecy, anybody who has got the testimony of Jesus according to Revelation 19:10, anybody with the spirit of Jesus has got the spirit of prophecy, my friend. So as long as we are testifying about the resurrection of the Son of God, who was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, and you talk about what the work of salvation is doing now in this third day of humanity, as you are talking about that, and you're talking about the soon coming king, as long as you are doing that, you are actually prophesying about what he did in the past, what he's doing in the present, and what he's continuing to do into the future. And as you do that, you're actually prophesying. So prophecy, my friend, is for every child of God who believes correctly in the resurrected God, in the resurrected Son of God, who himself became a man and dwelt among us and was crucified on the cross, died and went to hell so that you don't have to go. So there are some who are going to come and say, everybody is going to hell, everybody is going to approach hell, everybody is going to have a bridge over hell. Whatever they talk about, Jesus covered that all up. He covered it all up. He substituted himself for us. He went there for us so that we don't have to go, so that we don't have to approach hell. He did that for us already, so that we don't have to do those things. But you got to stand firm in his word, because when you twist the scriptures, right? You read Malachi chapter 3. You say, bring the tithe into my house so that there may be meat in the house. And you take it to be a financial tithe. You are twisting the scriptures unto your own destruction. As he says here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. They also other they twist other scriptures unto their own destruction. The tithe which is referred to in the scriptures, including from all the way from Deuteronomy to Leviticus, you name it, and to Malachi and all those the other scriptures in between, what he was talking about was your human spirit. Your human spirit, my friend, is the ultimate tithe. Your human spirit fully surrendered to the resurrection power of the resurrected God, Jesus Christ. thus you paying your tithe. Then when it comes to money and things about expenses in the congregations, you give that with a willing heart. That's all you need to do. And you give that with information. You don't give five pence for something which need 50,000. No, you give according to what is going on with understanding, and you give with a cheerful heart. So don't twist the scriptures to your own destruction, my friend. When you are doing this for you, perilous times have come. Perilous times have come to everybody who is paying the tithe in the New Testament era of grace. Perilous times have come to everybody who is following the Sabbath in these times of grace. Perilous times have come to everybody who is calling themselves reverend and spiritual father, this spiritual father, that. Unto those people, they are twisting the scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, perilous times have come in the last days. Perilous times shall come. So in what way have perilous times come unto your life, my friend? Perilous times have come to everybody who says, you know what, there's only one God in the world, but we approach this God in different routes, in different ways. You go to this God from the east, from the west, from the south, from the north, wherever, from the east, west, from the southeast, whatever direction, as long as we end up with the same God. You can follow the dusty road, you can follow the tired road, you can take an aeroplane, as long as you are worshipping the same God, we are okay. No, my friend. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Which means when he says, I am the way, singular, he knew that there were many other ways out there. So today, the interfaith movement, the multi-faith movement is saying, there are so many ways of worshipping God. You don't have to worship this Jesus of yours. He's only one of the ways. No. According to Jesus himself, he doesn't agree with you. It's not me who disagrees with you. I am saying Jesus himself does not agree with what you are saying. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody goes out to the Father except through me. That was the declaration of Jesus, and that is a spiritual law. So if you're trying to go to God any other way apart from what Jesus says, according to Jesus, you are not going to the Father. I don't know where you are going. Because Jesus says nobody comes to the Father, because he's already there. He didn't say nobody goes to the Father. He says nobody comes to the Father. So where are you coming? Where are you going, my friend? Are you coming to where Jesus is? Because Jesus is found in the New Testament church, and he says nobody comes to the Father. So which means the Father is actually in the New Testament church. The Father is in the New Testament world, in the world of the New Testament. That's where the Father, God, can be found. And why do we call him Father? We call him Father because just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we too, having been baptized with him in the likeness of his death, were raised with him from that baptism in the likeness of his resurrection, according to Romans chapter 6. So when that happens, just as he was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. Why? Because according to Romans chapter 8 verse 15, he has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear. In these perilous times where many are going to be lovers of the self, many are going to be lovers of this, of themselves, perilous times have come. We are not given a spirit of bondage to FOMO, the fear of missing out, the fear of missing out on the living ones. YOLO, FOMO, YOLO, you only live once. Fear of missing out. And you do whatever you do, go ahead and enjoy yourself. How can it be wrong when it feels so good, they say? How can it be wrong when it feels so good, they say? Okay, it feels so good to your flesh, but how does it feel spiritually speaking? Yeah, fornicating and adulterating and taking drugs may tickle your flesh and may give you some pleasure. That's why it is called pleasure. It pleasures your flesh, yes. But what does it do to your human spirit? What's happening to your human spirit, my friend? You are distancing yourself more and more and more away from the resurrected Savior, the one who is the only one who can save you from destruction. So what are we saying? We are saying that as it says here, that they rest these scriptures unto their own destruction. Then verse 17 of 2 Peter chapter 3 says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Right. Beware. Perilous times have come, my friend. Perilous times have come. He says, beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked. The error of the wicked is what we've just been describing in the last couple of minutes. That's the error of the wicked. He brings all these teachings about interfaith, multi-faith, and blah, blah, blah. And every road goes to God. You take your way, I take my way. It doesn't matter how I live my life, as long as I'm sincere, as long as I feel the love, everybody is fine. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And I say to us, my friend, that as far as the Lord God is concerned, anybody who is not following his footpath, anybody who is not following the narrow road — narrow is the way, is the road which leads to righteousness, but broad is the way that leads to destruction. So when they say that every road leads to God, yeah, maybe they are correct, only because we've not asked them to describe which God are you talking about, because the scripture says that Satan, the devil, is the god of this world. So maybe that's the one most people mean when they say, I worship God, I also worship God. But which God? Describe the God whom you worship, and you tell me what he has done for you, and then I can know if he is the true God of heaven. Because the true God of heaven said, you know what, humanity is tired of and weary and weak and desperately wicked. They are trying to get to me, but they cannot. So what can I do? I'll go to them and take up a human body, just like they've got human bodies. I'll be found in fashion as a man. Though I be God, I'll be found in fashion as a man. And I'll humble myself unto death, even the death of the cross. Yeah? And I will not think it as a robbery that I should be equal unto God. You see, so this is how God revealed himself. He came for you and he came for me. Now, when you want to tell me that I should move away from that kind of God, then you are actually wanting to introduce me into perilous times. And the God who says that I came for you, I loved you so much that I came for you, so that the Satan, the God of this world, will not make you approach hell or go to hell, whichever. I have come for you. You don't have to go to hell because I have come for you. And this God who came for us, who came for humanity when we didn't know him, we couldn't seek him because we didn't know him, we couldn't call out to him because we didn't know him. But what did he do? He came for us. He came for you and he came for me. That same God is the one we are saying tonight, my friend, this morning, this day, whatever time, wherever you are. That's the God, the true God of heaven. Any other God who didn't come for you to stop you from going to hell, any other God who didn't come for you to rescue you from the vicious circle of worshipping the dead and being recycled and whatever else and all sorts of whatever is going on out there, this God, if he is not this type of God, then I don't know what type of God you are worshipping. Yes, you are worshipping a God of some kind, but not the God who came for humanity so that humanity cannot go to hell. Those who enter into his new kingdom, New Testament kingdom, into his New Testament church. So, ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things, therefore, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness in these perilous times, I might add to say, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. What more do you need, my friend, in order to escape these perilous times? The perilous times have come for your faith. Perilous times have come to stop you from believing. Perilous times have come to stop you from being a child of God. Perilous times have come to stop your spirit self, your spirit man, receiving the true salvation from the death of Adam. Jesus is a healer, yes, but primarily he came not to heal your body. So those who have healing sessions, healing homes, healing houses, healing schools, healing sessions, healing nights, healing weeks, healing weekends, healing workshops, healing books, healing whatever. The way they miss it primarily is that they talk of healing as primarily meant for your flesh, bones, and blood. And they stop there. They never tell you that the death which Adam died in the Garden of Eden is the one which causes every human being to be born dead unto God, unaware, ignorant, and with no connection to God whatsoever. It is only when the true gospel comes. When the true gospel comes, it is the only one which passes through the veil of the flesh and enters into your human spirit and awakens your human spirit from the death of Adam unto the resurrection of Christ. That's the work of the gospel. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And that is the ultimate $1 million healing of all time. The healing of the flesh, being healed from whatever diseases which the doctors can tell you about, whatever name they give to those various physical, biological diseases which can affect your flesh, your bones, your blood, and your genes, whatever. Those kind of diseases, that type of healing is healing type 2. The healing type 1 is the healing from the death of Adam and resurrects your human spirit from the death of Adam so that you can become a child of God, which is why the scripture says that for God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear. Which fear? The one which Adam feared when he was in the garden. You read in Genesis chapter 3, what did he do? He heard the voice of God walking in the cool of the garden, and Adam in Genesis chapter 3, he ran away from God and hid himself amongst the trees, and having sown fig leaves, and he was hiding from God, fearing that he was naked, fearing that he didn't qualify to be in communion with God, and that severed relationship where God was no longer in communion with Adam is the condition, which is a disease of some kind, a spiritual disease, which is what Jesus came to heal. So when we say Jesus is a healer, yes, he is a healer. But the number one healing which he wants to give to everybody that believes is the healing from the death of Adam, which Adam gave to every human being born in the earth. So that when you are healed from that, your spirit awakens to the fatherhood of God, which is why Romans chapter 8 verse 15 talks about we've not been given the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've been given the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father, and the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, joint heirs with Christ, if so, that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. We suffer with him. Where do we suffer with him? In the New Testament church. Why do we suffer? Because once you are resurrected from the death of Adam, then perilous times have come unto you, because now you've got the light of the world. He that loves me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of the world. I am the light of the world, he says in John chapter 8 verse 12. He is the light of the world. So that light, when you believe him, when you have believed him, that light shines in your human spirit. And when it shines in your human spirit like that, the devil and all his forces, they want to quench it the best they know how. They want to extinguish that fire. And that fire, that light which will be lit in your human spirit, the efforts of the devil to extinguish that light is what is called perilous times. So the scripture, as we have read before, that perilous times shall come, in men shall be lovers of them their own selves. what's the most famous type of photograph which people take these days? It's called a what? A selfie. a selfie. Men shall be lovers of selfie. Men shall be lovers of themselves. People taking pictures of themselves, lovers of themselves. We are indeed in the last of the last days, my friend. The scriptures are being fulfilled. But the number one thing, whilst you are taking pictures and videos of yourself and posting your image on the social media, your body has now become your God. You are now worshipping your God. Your body is now an idol which you groom and polish and manicure and put makeup and whatever you do. Your body is now another God. You have got two gods which you worship. You worship money and you worship your human body. You groom yourself, you polish your teeth, you polish your fingernails, you polish your face, you groom your hair. Whatever you do, you are worshipping that body. You are worshipping that item called your body, and it has now become your God. So your body is now your God. And to you, because Jesus is no longer the Lord of your body now, your body is the one in charge of anything. Whatever your body wants, your body shall get. Whatever your body desires, your body shall get it. Whatever your flesh desires, your flesh shall get it. Whatever your flesh craves for, your flesh shall get it. If you want pride, your flesh is gonna get pride. If you want money, your flesh is gonna get money. If you want food, whatever you want, if you want to big up yourself more than anybody and you're walking like a peacock in all your pride, that is what you're gonna do, and you're not gonna give a toss about who Jesus is in your life. Unto you, perilous times have indeed come. So you are lovers of self, taking pictures of yourself, and boasters, covetous, boasters, proud, you're calling themselves influencers. Who do you influence? For what? Yeah? For what? To worship the God of their body. And what is going to happen to them? Perilous times have come, because such people have got no time for the resurrected Savior Jesus Christ, because they are full of themselves and they are going to be worshipping their own selves. And for this sort which creep into houses, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You got the Bible, but you're never going to come to the knowledge of the truth, that the whole Bible talks about Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior. That's what the Bible is about. And it is the Bible, it is these scriptures which talks about Jesus, which want your spirit man saved, because your body is going to decay. This whole earth is going to decay. This whole universe is going to be destroyed by fire. So those of those religions who say, oh, the new world order is our religion, is going to rule this world. Then what is going to happen in the end? In the end, this whole world is going to be burnt up with fire anyway. So what have you won? Yeah, you. It's like boarding a burning train. You're going to burn with the train, isn't it? So, my friend, Jesus, the resurrected Savior, is the only God, the true God, who said, humanity cannot come to me, I'll go to them. And it is Him who came for us when we didn't know Him, when we didn't even know who He was. He came. Christ, God reveals His love towards us in that whilst we were yet sinners, yet Jesus died for us whilst we were yet sinners. And this is this type of God, the one who rose again from the dead, who says, I came for you so that you don't have to approach hell. I came for you so that you don't have to go to hell. I came for you so that your spirit man may be healed from the death of Adam. And that is the number one healing which you can ever receive, my friend. That is the number one healing. Are you going to refuse this healing for your human spirit to be resurrected from the death of Adam, so that you can have the resurrection of life in your body, so that when the perilous times come, which we are living in the perilous times even right now, the perilous times are here. We are in the last days. We are in the third day of human existence, my friend, and the time is now for you to awaken to the fatherhood of God, because God has already done His part. By you hearing this teaching this day, it means God has visited you, my friend. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to respond? In the last days, perilous times shall come. In the last days, perilous times shall come. They have come, my friend. They have got you right now. Even as you dismiss this teaching, my friend, it means the perilous times are waking you hard and they are driving you like a slave master. And I'm saying to you, my friend, the time has come. The time has come for you to say, you know what? I know about, now I understand about these perilous times. I'm going to extend my hand to hold the hand which is being extended unto me by the God of heaven, who loved me so much when I didn't know him, when I didn't even understand who he was. There he is preaching through this voice I'm hearing now, saying unto us, saying unto me, that I went to hell for you. I rose again from hell. I rose again from the dead for you, so that you don't have to go to hell for yourself. And this is the same God who is calling your name right now. This is the same God. Don't let these perilous times overcome you. The time is now for you to say enough is enough. We would very much like to hear from you. Please do get in touch with us on UK number 07460670044. Send text, WhatsApp, Telegram, or email us on roadofcorrection.tv@gmail.com.
Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.